Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Talking Fast.
Where somebody this week told me I talk too fast. Yeah. You have a sparkle on your forehead.
Do I? I thought I saw one in the mirror. Did I get it? I think I just got it.
Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. This is Manager Jacob, and what are you drinking right now? You just seemed panicked that you didn't know what you were drinking before we started recording.
I was panicking because I was just drinking a little bit of water, and people were calling me out in the comments recently, being like, oh, thank God Jacob is actually drinking something other than water now that these episodes are rolling out, where I actually had interesting beverages in front of me. Today I've got nothing, but what I have been drinking, because it's a little cold outside, I was teased with some spring weather, but then the snow came back here. Mm-hmm. So I went back into red wine. I've been enjoying a little red wine and just like, you know, a little classy glass of red wine on a Thursday evening. Nothing hits like it.
Are you a red wine in the winter, white wine in the summer guy? Are you a red wine?
You know what? I mess around with red wine in the summer a little bit, but not as much as white wine.
Do you ever mix in a rosé?
No, you know what? I don't mess with rosé at all. I am almost I'll say it here first on the podcast. I'm anti-rosé. Choose one.
Try the Lola sparkling rosé. I used to be anti-rosé until I drank that rosé.
Okay, what does it taste like?
It's dry. Super dry.
Okay, cuz I don't like the sweet.
So me neither. But the sparkling rosé from Lola, and like OG vlog watchers, viewers will remember, because I used to like exclusively drink that in the pandemic.
Okay, I'll pick up a bottle and check it out.
And Sarah? It's from Ontario. It's a VQA.
Okay, support local. Right? I'm into
VQO?
It.
VQO?
VQA.
VQA.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Sarah, I think this was teased a little bit because I see it kind of beside you, and you claimed a couple of weeks ago that you had quit Diet Coke.
I claimed I was attempting
to
quit.
True. Let's not shame.
But this is my second Diet Coke today. And then also I just had to like turn to burp because like this is the issue of why I don't drink it. What I would like to know, please comment, if you're a Diet Coke person like myself, are you a canned Diet Coke person, a bottle or a fountain?
I was just going to say, I was like, an interesting choice that you have a bottle. Are you typically a bottle?
I did it because I was throwing it in my purse and I wanted to drink some on the way here. So I'm not normally a bottle person, but bottle when I'm like on the go. This is my on the go Diet Coke. A can if I'm eating like lunch in the cafeteria. And then fountain is preferred always.
I don't know if I know this about you. Do you at like your day job
have a cafeteria?
Have a cafeteria?
Not like in the building.
is there like a classic lunch person who's gonna serve out?
I'm really, the other trait I was trying to do for the new year, which it's not even the new year anymore, it's been months, was not buying my lunch. When I say cafeteria, I mean like the cafes, like the food courts, the food courts. I call it the cafeteria.
Oh my God, I'm going to refer to food courts exclusively as cafeterias.
That's
now.
What they are though. They are cafeterias.
You're not wrong, but like
it's
never
the same
thing.
I don't know why. I've just always called them the cafeteria and then I get made fun of at work for it too. But yeah, I...
So is this going to be an ongoing thing or are you going to try to quit again?
Am I
going
to try to quit again? I don't know. I've cut back. Like what I used to do when I was like really on the juice is I would go to the drugstore.
On the juice.
And then I would buy a case of Diet Coke because I was like, oh my God, Sarah, you're getting rinsed when they like go...
Yeah,
because you go down
true.
To like the food court.
It's like $3.50 or something
like
that.
Yeah, it's like $3.50, whatever. And so instead for like $7, I buy a case of Diet Coke and I looked like a maniac walking through the office with like two cases of Diet Coke I'd keep under my desk. And then that's what I drink instead.
You're a budgeting pro then. You're
so I stopped doing that. I only have one when I crave one, which is every day. So I'm trying.
Okay, Sarah, what are you reading or watching this week? We got to move on.
Okay, so by the time this episode goes out, it'll be after the Oscars. So that's why this is going to be a very interesting take, because this picture could be Best Picture.
Oh, what'd you watch?
I fell asleep watching, I never know how to pronounce it, and I'm literally going to read it. The Banshees of... I didn't even write it. The Banshees of... The Banshees of... Banshees. I fell asleep watching Banshees.
This is the one with Colin Farrell and yep. the other guy that was
the other guy that's
in Bruges.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I'm going to Bruges now.
Oh.
TikTok convinced me. That's a side note. Okay. Anyways. Yeah, I fell asleep. Look, I understand the premise. I understood it's supposed to be about like people holding grudges and men's mental health and all this stuff. Important messaging. I just think it was a snooze fest and I fell asleep halfway through, woke up.
Is it a full-on drama? Is it like trying
to
be...
No, it's like funny. It's like a dark comedy.
Okay.
Nolan loved it. He was like laughing the whole time and I'm like, what like deep-rooted things are this movie
bringing up for you? What was the other movie that this person did? The Lobster, right? Or something like that?
I have no idea.
Is that the same director?
I don't care. It was beautiful and that was the only thing that was interesting about it. And look, I might be eating my words because it might, by the time this comes out, have won Best Picture and I'll be grossly disappointed. But
if that happened, everyone comment and just call
gross
it.
I will call it myself, but I just was so bored. But
you know what? Everyone has their own opinion. I once reviewed a movie that ended up being nominated for Best Picture and I gave it like two and a half
what
stars
movie was
out of
it?
Five. The Kids Are All Right. It was years and years ago.
The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Okay, so like what have you been watching / reading?
I was watching this week the Andrew Huberman podcast and it was a kind of an older interview by a few weeks. Excuse me, but he was interviewing Rick Rubin, the music producer. He's produced for like a ton of top artists. Anyway, he had a new book come out and it was a really interesting chat. It was like 3 hours long, all about creativity and how do you tap into creativity and like Rick Rubin's kind of thoughts on everything from meditation to some like wacky health stuff. Interesting chat. And also his book came out, Rick Rubin's new book on creativity. It's called The Creative Act, Way of Being. I have been trying to buy this book because you talked about this last episode, got out of your reading slump. I've been in a reading slump for a while. I have like probably 5 or 6 books half read that are just cracked open with a bookmark in them waiting to be finished. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this is the one that's going to do it. Go to buy it. It's gone. It's nowhere to be
found. Oh, it's sold out.
Yeah. So it's a popular book. So maybe it's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, that means it will get you out of your slump, but you're just going to have to live in your slump for a little bit longer.
Exactly.
I suppose. Okay. And finally, what are we listening to?
Well, Sarah, this is an exciting one because after you, this will come out, I'm not sure exactly when, but you did an exciting interview recently with Jordan Davis that's going to be on a Talking Fast episode in probably a couple weeks. But he's an amazing country artist who is in town here.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I knew that you were going to do that, I started listening to him. I was like, I know a bunch of these songs. And
yeah, that's what
bangers.
Everybody said. Nolan isn't a country music fan either, came to the show. And I was like, oh, like, did you enjoy it? He goes, like every country artist, I feel like he was like, oh, as soon as he started singing, I was like, oh, I know that song. Oh, I know that song. It's like very like summer vibey drinking music.
I know. Speaking about the winter coming back, I think maybe that's why I got hooked again, because I'm just like looking for something to take me out of a winter slump as well.
I'm so mad I forgot to tell him. I really wanted to tell Jordan Davis that you became a country fan because of riding your Peloton.
I thought that would have been hilarious.
And I totally forgot.
That would have completed my life.
I was so nervous. But next time.
What are you listening to?
And I'm ashamed to say it because I was very vocal about despising this show, but it's changed now. I've been listening to a lot of Call Her Daddy.
Oh.
Look.
Okay, what got you in?
Well,
which interview?
The John Mayer one first.
Okay.
The interview, I mean, like, I listened to the Hailey Bieber one forever ago, then John Mayer, but recently I've been, like, going back and listening to more episodes. She just interviews everyone. Like, she gets, like, Alex Cooper gets everyone.
Big names.
Like, the way that she is, honestly, so much respect for Alex Cooper, the way she's transitioned her career from, like, being known as, like, a raunchy Barstool podcast. Let's be honest, that's how I saw it. At least I never listened to it, and I don't agree with Barstool, so I don't listen to anything that's under that umbrella.
Yeah.
Once she moved to Spotify, I was, like, skeptical. And I didn't listen the first season or anything, but recently, like, the Kelsey Ballerini episode was so good. Like,
yeah,
she's been getting everyone, and I think it's just like she feels like they're just talking to a friend, so everyone wants to come on the show, and I've been really impressed with it, actually.
You know,
so
what I've seen, I've never listened to a full episode. Maybe I should dive in. No, that's a lie. I listened to the Miley Cyrus one.
Oh, yes.
That was good.
Yeah.
But you know what I appreciate about her too, as an interviewer, she always gets the tea.
Always gets the tea. We're still waiting for it here. That's your dream, though. So, Jacob, how are we sleeping right now?
Sarah, you know, I have been not sleeping very well. What about you?
I have gotten better. A big goal for this year is to prioritize sleep for me. And, you know, having a good nighttime routine helps with that. But being as busy as I am, sometimes I do sacrifice my sleep. And that's why we're actually partnering with Sleep Country Canada to show the powerful impact that sleep can have on your mental and physical well-being in celebration of World Sleep Day coming up on March 17th.
Yes, super important. And we're taking part in the 248-hour challenge, which Sleep Country is actually challenging people to get a full 8 hours for 31 days straight in March.
I'll be interested to see out of the two of us who manages to do it. It's almost like a challenge between us as well.
I know, and we're kind of in the middle of it here. And you know what? I've still got some bad habits, but with the help of Sleep Country, we're hopefully going to change these.
Exactly, because sleep has such a positive impact on mental well-being and physical health as well.
And to do that, we're focusing on building better habits. So Sarah, what can we do to get better sleep this month and beyond?
Okay, first one is going to bed at the same time every night to develop consistency. Definitely something I need to work on.
Yeah, I'm not good at that either.
That's actually where reading has really helped me, because it keeps me off of my device before bed. I'm not staring at a screen. I'm just looking at pages, and then I can put away and get a good night's sleep.
Huge, a little wind down time.
Exactly. Setting your thermostat to a comfortable temperature, I think, is the biggest game changer. I personally like sleeping in the cold. What about you?
Yes, okay, that is maybe one of the tips where I am nailing it. I like to have a nice warm place in the daytime, but then at night, let's cool it down.
Bring it down a couple degrees.
Maybe a little fan or something. Whatever's going to make you feel comfortable, right?
If I could have a fan in my bedroom all year round, I guess I could. I'm an adult. I can do what I want. But I would do that because I love sleeping in the cold. I love being all curled up.
Yes.
It's the best. One that is a staple in my life is creating a calming bedtime routine. So that's taking a bath, reading a book, as I mentioned. The bath one's really big for me. I put in some like Epsom salts in there, some lavender that makes you a little sleepy. I think just creating a cozy nighttime routine really helps set you up for success and a good night's sleep.
You know what? I've done that too. Sometimes I'll take a little essential oil spray.
We love that.
On the pillows. Ooh,
game changer.
Good to go.
One thing in adulthood that I have learned is there is nothing better than also keeping your bed super comfortable with comfortable pillows, nice sheets, a good mattress. You spend like so much of your life in your bed, so why would you not invest in the absolute best things to help you have the best sleep?
Exactly.
So I want to talk a little bit about how sleep is really good for not just mental health, but physical health. And I think we're two good examples of physical health and mental health. So physical health, you're training for a marathon right now. So how important is sleep for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm training for a marathon, and a big part of that is just getting a lot of kilometers in the practice of it all. And, you know, you can only really add up so many miles if you're getting a really restorative period in between your runs. And a huge part of that is sleep. So are you waking up rested in those early mornings on the weekend to be able to get your long runs in? Mm-hmm. Are you recovering appropriately, you know, day to day when you actually have a rest period? It's not something that I've been great at in the past, but what I'm really trying to focus on over the next little bit. And then so Sarah, on the other side of things, for mental well-being, sleep also has a massively positive impact when it comes to mental health, right?
Yeah, and I've really, over the last, I'd say, couple of years of doing my little self-care Sundays or just self-care content in general, a big part of it has been winding down before bed and making sure I get a good night's sleep. Because I'm so busy, I really need to prioritize that time, because if I don't get a good night's sleep, I'm cranky the next day and it derails everything. And when you're as busy as I am, that never helps. So that's why going off my phone an hour before and reading before bed is so important. I've invested in good pillows, good sheets. I have a silk pillowcase now, and it's like got that cool feeling when I get excited to go to bed now and have that rest period for myself. And that just helps me with my mental well-being overall.
Yeah, that's super important. And I mean, I think also just being present and actually thinking about how important sleep mm-hmm. is. And that's probably why taking part of the 248-hour sleep challenge is so important, right?
Exactly. 8 hours of sleep every single night for all of March. I think we can do it if we put our minds to it. We're also encouraging all of our listeners and viewers of Talking Fast to take part in this challenge with us, the 248-hour sleep challenge. You can learn more at sleepcountry.ca.
So with more than 25 years of experience in the field of sleep, Sleep Country, they know what they're talking about. These are the people that we need to learn from.
And you can get more information and more resources about sleep and getting a healthy good night's sleep at sleepcountry.ca. The first time I met this guest was almost 8 years ago in a Pittman Hall res room at Toronto Metropolitan University. Then, a week later, we ended up in the same business class where I quickly learned she's one of the most business-savvy-minded people I've ever met, and mostly because I was begging her to tutor me. She's an actor turned content creator who shares everything from acting tips to fashion tips and more. From Grace O'Malley student nights to influencer dinners, I've been lucky enough to have this friend guide me through my entire life here in Toronto. Please welcome to Talking Fast, Tori Webster.
Sarah, what an intro. That's Thanks. So kind. Isn't so many memories we've lived together.
There's a lot more in between like the few lines that are there, but yeah, it's crazy when you say like almost 8 years ago, you're like, oh shoot, that was like maybe it was almost nine. I might have even done the math wrong, but it's a long time ago. 2014.
I'll tell you a crazy story. I was on an airplane yesterday and a woman came up to me and she said, so are you on reading week? And I said, oh, that's so nice. I've been out of school for a long time. Yeah. And she goes, oh, well, those hot boys sitting in row 14, I was just hoping you could set me up with one of them and thought you were on Spring Breakers. And I was Whoa. Like, and it was Adam's Row. I go, that is my boyfriend, but I do not know who the other two guys
that's
are. I'm so sorry.
Funny. Yeah, it's been 5 years since we graduated, which is kind of crazy.
I'm glad we still are looking young.
I know. Like the round face always helps you. I always find I have a baby face because of it.
But also first, not to jump in, thank you for having me on, but separately, congratulations on the launch of a podcast. It's like a huge feat. I've loved following along on your like content creation blossoming journey.
It's wild.
Like you introed, like I've seen you from start to finish. It's been incredible to watch. But also, a podcast is really hard to bring to life. I've done it myself. It's kind of intense. And the first episode, so my first episode that I filmed of our podcast previously, like we listen back and we're like, we can't listen. Like, this is so cringe. Like the audio is horrible. It was like cutting all over the place. So I listened to your first episode today and I was like, oh my God, they have fabulous audio. Like that's the hardest part.
Thank you so much. Congrats. Oh, I really appreciate that. I know. It's been kind of crazy. Like that's why when I did enter this like content creator world, it made it so much easier. Like, cause I knew like the first few events I got invited to, I'm like, oh my God, at least Tori will be, I'd text Tori immediately, be like, I got invited to an event. Will you at least be there? Because I always knew I had like a person there, which most people don't have. So I was That's very true. Lucky to have like you, and I already knew Jacqueline through you before, so I felt so lucky. I felt like I was already with the cool kids like at these events by the time, because you're a veteran, like you've been doing this for so long now, which is kind of crazy.
Too long, some might say.
But like how is, I mean, I always tell this story to people, like I remember in 2014 we're in this res room and like you're showing your Instagram to me or whatever and you're like, yeah, and like someone's gonna pay me to post about, like, I don't even remember what the product was.
It might have been
hair extensions, might have been this, that, who knows what it was back in
2014. Scotiabank was actually my first client.
That's so cool.
In 2014. I know, not to give Scotiabank that love, but they really were.
That's crazy.
A little bit ahead of the curve, I guess, because 2014, literally first year university, was the first time I had ever monetized my channel.
Which is crazy.
And yeah, it was Scotiabank reached out and they said, we'd love to partner with you. And, you know, and it was like a long-term package deal too, which is actually the reverse of what was happening at the time. It like at that time, it was very much the transactional, here's a pair of Hollister jeans and like post a photo in them. But yeah, Scotiabank just weirdly had the budget and had the foresight to have this like long-term partnership idea, and I was blown away. And my parents pulled me aside and they said, you know, you've been spending a little bit too much time on this Instagram thing. We just really want you to focus on school. And I was still acting, like working. I was busy. And they were like, we don't want you to be posting your life online. And I said, no, give me 6 months. Let me show you what my income statement looks like after 6 months. And if I, you know, hit a certain bracket or if I'm successful, you got to let me continue on. So I did. I like took the deal, did all the things, and then showed my dad after 6 months. And he said, great, carry on. So that's
where
how
does that confidence come from? Because that was like relatively early on in the creator economy. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, it's rare for a big bank to be coming with a large package deal. But like, where do you get the confidence at that year then to like say, you know, I can turn this into actually like a viable business?
I was just lucky. I was connected with a lot of American creators at the time. And I think that's where the disconnect happened from the Canadian market. We weren't there yet. Like we're always about 2 or 3 years behind, but specifically in the influencer market, we just were not there. The budgets were not being delegated online yet. There was no like social ads running. That just wasn't the space we were in. But I had a lot of LA friends that were saying, hey, we're doing these Instagram ads, we're doing these Facebook paid ads. And just in very casual conversation, just kind of bringing it to my attention and talking about their experiences. So I was just lucky to have mentors, I think, in the US that were already seeing it as a business. So I, from the beginning, had that mindset that if it ever came to Canada at that scale, that I could kind of shift it to my liking.
Yeah. So was your early days then like mostly working with American brands and with American agencies and stuff?
Yeah. Oh,
that's so interesting.
For the, probably the first, I mean, most of maybe the first 2 years specifically, mostly US. And like, again, weird, under the table, PayPal deals. Like, you know what I mean?
Remember
the days? I got paid via PayPal like 2 months ago.
But it was so much more common. It was different. And it was like always you had to add 5% to cover the fees.
Yes.
Oh, or like the people, the brands that would be like, oh, you know what? Don't worry about it. We're going to pay you via family and friends.
Yeah,
PayPal.
The family and friends. You still get that family and friends discount. It's crazy.
And
so
then,
yeah.
Were you, I know you just mentioned that you had like mentors in the creator space, but like, were you doing this all yourself or with a manager? I'm curious from like the perspective of a talent manager, like what was the world back then?
Totally. For the first 2 years, again, it was just me, but let's be clear. Like I was taking my $500 out of my PayPal, running to Gracie's with Sarah and buying everyone shots.
Buying everyone shots.
Like that was very much the culture. That was my mindset at the time. Like I can't go into it saying I knew that I would build it to what it is today, but I definitely always treated it like a business and very professionally. So I always managed that side of things for those first 2 years and was able to do it myself. Then it was probably second year when I started just to like get a bit nerdy into school and I was spending so much more time reading and writing and just kind of being a nerd that I was like, how am I going to read all my contracts and do the other stuff? Maybe I do need a team. And I had had someone reach out at the time. And at the, like this was like the blogger era now. Yes. So like 2015, 2016, everyone had a blog.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't that person. No. I didn't have the output. Like I didn't have the time while I was in school to be blogging. But I did enjoy Instagram and I was already kind of naturally doing the Instagram thing.
Yeah.
So this team took me on. They tried to convince me to be a blogger. I was like, guys, just let me live in my like happy little Instagram bubble at the time. And they did. And they were instrumental, I would say, in getting me those opening the door. That's what I would say. They're instrumental in opening the door, letting me go into events, make those personal connections, meet brands face to face. Some of those longer term partnerships started to begin in that time. And then when I graduated, they knew, like they just knew. The day I graduated, I was like, here's your 30 days.
Yeah.
Just because I love the business side way too much. And as soon as I graduated, I knew I was going to want to handle that myself. And
Since that day, I have. Yeah. Well, and you always have loved the business side. Like, you, like, BSM 100, Tori's like putting her hand up and actually participating. I'm like back there hungover from Gracie's before, like, oh my God. I'm like, can we talk about this later? At what point did you realize? Because you said you gave yourself like 6 months, said to your parents, like, I can prove that I can make money off this. I can make my bar money. I don't need like a regular part time job, whatever. So, at what point did you realize like this is a viable long term career for you? Was there like a moment or has it just kind of been you've continued to pivot? And
By second year. Yeah. I think by second year I knew.
Yeah.
Again, based on trajectory, but then also the way the whole culture of the influencer space was changing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was in the space at the time when it went from like blogger to then, oh, you're kind of being treated more like almost celebrity. Like it shifted. It was like, oh, we can have you host things and we can have you. Like it felt like brands were no longer afraid to put an influencer in front of the camera and have them kind of stand up and be an ambassador. And so I think like pretty early on, I was like, oh, but maybe it's also just my blind confidence in the world. Like, who knows? Who knows, honestly?
And then was there also a shift? Because I know like your background, you touched on a little bit, is in acting as well. Obviously, you were on Life with Boys, a big hit show, and then, you know, went on to your studies.
Yeah.
But like
your studies,
your education.
They went so well at TMU.
Sure. But like, what was the switch I guess, in career path? Was there one, or just were you expanding your interests that you wanted to pursue from a career?
Such a natural transition, honestly. Mm-hmm. I don't ever think there was a cut and dry even line in my head where, or like line in the sand where it became a certain way. I remember in like second year or third year starting mm-hmm. to use the analogy of like, if I'm a stove, like the acting's just on the back burner. Like I never had really said like, you know, I'm hanging it up, kids. We're retiring. Like, I never did that. I still haven't done that. I still go on auditions all the time. Yeah. Like, actors are hilariously forever unemployed, and I kind of love that about it. Yeah. Like I always say I'm an actor because I am technically an actor.
Not even but technically. Like, you are an actor.
Sure, but I like, that industry in itself stresses me out and has just changed so much. And I used to be so free. Like, I'd go into auditions as, like, a 10-year-old and just be like, what's up, everybody? And I feel like now as a 26-year-old, like, don't enter a room with that same joie de vivre. Like, I've like,
yeah,
but like, you also fell into acting a little bit differently than most people did.
Yeah, it was an accident.
Like, you were doing musical theater, right? Mm-hmm. And then somebody like spotted you, and then wasn't Life with Boys your first audition?
It was one of, yeah. Or like an I had early done, oh, it was wow. early days. Like, I had done like a small Christmas movie, which still plays on Hallmark every year, which is triggering, but like, love that for me. Yeah. Thank you for my residual checks. But yeah, it was very early on. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, happy accident. I think anything that's not forced in life is meant to be there. And I feel that way about my acting career. Like, one day I think maybe I'll just be on a Netflix show and then I'll be an actor again. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Well, and also it's like not going anywhere. Like, you still have the skills and you're still like doing things that are transferable skills that are like, whether it be memorizing scripts or whatever for like videos, it's all transferable. And it's also like, even 30 years from now, if you want to get into acting, they need the hot moms on shows and stuff eventually.
Isn't it crazy how many actors have transitioned and then been child actors, but then gone away for like Jason Bateman, my true love of life. He was a successful child actor and then kind of didn't work for like 10, 15 years and then was like resurgence.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of my guy who just keeps winning awards.
Brendan Fraser?
No, who was in like
one of
the early Spielberg movies.
Yes, Spielberg. Right?
And then Kiwi Kwan,
who just keeps winning.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was like, just keeps winning.
But he was gone for like 30 years, right?
Yeah, so he was in Indiana Jones. Then he didn't act for, literally like 20, 30 years. And then now, like, his first role back, he's like, by the time this goes out, he might have an Oscar.
Guys, just wait for my Oscar. It's coming.
It's
still good. Maybe years down the road.
It's still good. Does, for people that don't know, your boyfriend Adam is a cinematographer. Does Adam working in that field, like, ever give you the itch, though, again, to, like maybe... I don't know, act more, I guess?
No,
I
it's
know.
So interesting. It hasn't given me the itch to act more. If anything, it just makes me know that I'd be a fabulous producer. Like, it makes me want to, it makes me see it on producer. The other side. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes, whenever I chat with him about, like, his movie making or shooting commercials, I'm never actually thinking about it from the actor's perspective. I'm like, oh my God, why would they put that $10,000 there? Like, I just, it's always way, I always say I'm 80% business, 20% creative. I've obviously been able to monetize and leverage my creativity, but way more focused on the business side. So I think
And the business is where the longevity comes from too. You would be a great producer because half of being a producer, if not like 90% of it, is just scheduling and money.
Exactly.
And telling people
which a lot of people
and having strong opinions.
No, I know.
And then getting shit done.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And sending emails without the exclamation point.
Exactly.
No emotion.
No emotion.
I love an exclamation point though. Come
do
on.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did want to go back though, because you mentioned like your early management team wanting to kind of put you in that blogger hole. I'm just kind of curious, or pigeonhole, curious of your perspective on this, because it's something that we've talked about on the podcast here and there, but it's like the difference between a creator kind of like finding their niche or, you know, producing content that kind of hits a broad range. So you can have like, that was maybe more popular early days of Instagram, you have your travel Instagrammer that only exclusively posts about travel. You're someone I think who probably hits on a lot of different niches. So where do you fall on that debate, and where do you think that's going in the future?
That was strategic for me at the time. I was comparing myself to all these bloggers that had these lifestyle pages that were hitting so many different categories. And I thought, okay, so how can I make my Instagram that way? Because I would love to be able to talk about what I'm buying at the LCBO, but also about what mascara I'm using. but also about, you know, what book I'm reading on a Friday night. How, and that wasn't, like, the lifestyle influencer wasn't necessarily fully born yet. Like, it existed, yeah. but not in that full way. So I remember thinking to myself at the time, and, like, I used to sit in different lectures, and I'd write out different categories. Like, on a Monday, should I be talking about makeup? And on a Wednesday, should I be talking about fitness? And was strategic about bringing in different parts of my life to kind of open up that conversation in a bigger way, not only with brands, obviously that was a part of the conversation, but also bring in a community in a different way, like someone that might be interested in something beyond just makeup. Like, I yeah. was never like niched down. I'm still not, like.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense, honestly. That's the kind of the side of the debate that I fall on too, is that it makes, like, just for the exact reason you're talking about, you're the kind of ambassador that is, for a lack of a better term, like the vehicle that allows people to kind of like see themselves in you. And totally. It's not like, you know, a traditional travel Instagrammer, travel creator. People are seeing the destinations through a person totally. As opposed to like wanting to be that person.
Right.
Which I think is a lot more valuable, like long term. Because mm-hmm. you see like influencers pop up and like have a little bit of a 15 minutes for a year, a couple of years, and then they kind of fall away. But I think you're 100% right. And probably, you know, for at least in my opinion, why you've probably had longevity in the business as well is probably, you know, falling along those lines.
Yeah. I feel like more people nowadays, it's like I don't have a niche, I'm the niche. Like, that's yeah. I think what mm-hmm. people are more so approaching it as now.
Which I always find is so interesting, though, that like certain managers and whatnot will still tell people to like find a niche, which I don't think is necessarily like the good thing to do.
If you had told me to find a niche, I'd kick you out of that. See you later. What's been the biggest key to your longevity, do you think, as a creator? Because you've had to pivot a lot.
Working hard and being nice to people.
Yeah.
Like, full stop. Like, yeah. I think there's a lot of people that actually just don't execute on a job, which seems easy enough, but you'd be surprised. I think a lot of people deal with creators that have a lot of ego, mm-hmm. that don't hit deadlines, that don't do the work, that don't show up on time. And I think all of those things, like, combined is kind of why the word influencer has a bad reputation.
A negative connotation, yeah. 100%.
And I also think I've worked really hard to actually be okay with that word, because in the way that I've conducted my business and the mm-hmm. way I've been able to survive the waves of the industry, I think it's okay to be called an influencer. Like, we're tapping into a specific community. We're doing all these things. But for me, it's like long-term clients, long-term partnerships, like clients and people that I've worked with since 2014. Like, that's yeah. what's important for me, is those relationships behind the scenes. That has really kind of, I think, kept me afloat. I think a lot of my repeat business is just friends and people that yeah. enjoy working with me. Like, it's that simple.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we actually met years ago now, like once. I think it was like 5 years ago. And I was the plus one of a friend, Edward.
We love Edward.
Wine event. Shout out Edward Rowe.
Shout out Edward.
But that's something that I remember about you too, because there were a lot of people like in the room. It was a wine event at a hotel in Prince Edward County. Mm-hmm. And you must be, I only saw you in this one room, but like a connector. Like, you were talking to everyone. You seemed like you enjoyed talking to everyone.
I love people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I think has got to be, like, you know, you can sit in a room with a ton of creators and mm-hmm. kind of you can pick out who genuinely enjoys the experience of working with people, just off of your point of like the repeat business mm-hmm. being with friends. It's like, that's how you build those relationships.
100%. That's so nice. And I honestly, there is no truer joy than, yeah, like an event where I get to connect with like other creators or brands and make those personal connections. I think it's what's also kept me excited about mm-hmm. the industry for so long. I mean, I work alone. That's a very insular experience, especially for a Leo, when we get our energy from other people. So I love the event circuit and getting to know people and getting to know brands. And I think that has really lent to my ability to make connections. And also like just the art of the follow-up. Like, I will just like still mm-hmm. be the person that's like, let's just go for dinner. Like, regardless of if you have a project for me, like, let's just connect and be humans yeah. about it. And honestly, 9 out of 10 times someone calls me 2 weeks later, hey, we'd love for you to be on this yeah. project. It's just that way. Like, people want to work with people that, when there's like a genuine connection.
And also, like, not enough people do follow up. Like, no. I mean, you've been doing this forever. How many people do you meet at events or whatever that go, oh, like, we have to get a drink sometime, or we should do, and then you, and it's silent, it's nothing. And like, that's where you and I are very similar. We're always ones that will follow up. But like, you've been this way forever. Like, even I find you can really judge a person if like they can bring all their friends together and their friends can all become friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, I think that's a really good telltale of like good energy and good people. Like we'd be having like dance parties in Tori's university kitchen with like people I've never met before, but it's like we're dancing Mamma Mia, it doesn't matter, and it's just like good people because it's like, oh well, we all love Tori, so it's like we'll all get along with it. So I think like you apply that to your business as well, which is probably mm-hmm. why it's been like so successful
for I know I'm weirdly still that way. Yeah. All of my friends are friends with my other friends because
it makes it easier.
It's so confusing, but I always love connecting other humans that I think are just sick people and they all need to be friends.
I think it makes life way easier when all of your friends are friends with each other, because then like you don't have to ever worry about people being awkward or uncomfortable at your house. Like if you had a dinner party, you could sit them anywhere and it shouldn't matter.
And surround yourself with other successful people that are bringing you up. Like I think 100%. Becoming friends with people that are also in the industry, like there's this fear, especially in Canada, this like lack of abundance mindset. Like everyone thinks they're fighting for the next job or they're only going to be that one influencer that gets the gig. In my experience, it's not like that at all. Like I think being friends with other influencers or people in PR or people in that space has only made it a more fulfilling experience, because not only do they want to help you raise yourself up, but then when you have an exciting thing that you can bring them in on, like it's always working to level itself up together. I don't know. Abundance mentality.
This episode is sponsored by Sleep Country Canada. Sleep Country Canada is proud to celebrate Sleep Awareness Month and to sponsor World Sleep Day on March 17th to help awaken Canadians to the power of sleep. Join Sleep Country in the 248-hour sleep challenge to get 8 hours of better, higher quality sleep every night for 31 nights through small daily actions that help build better sleep routines. Whether it's going to bed at the same time every day to develop consistency, staying off devices 1 hour before going to bed, or setting your thermostat to a comfortable temperature, small daily actions can help you have better tomorrows through better tonight. Make sure to visit sleepcountry.ca to find out more details on the 248-hour sleep challenge. Welcome back to our voicemail segment, where every single week we try and give advice. We answer questions. They can be serious, not serious, life advice. We try to give it all. I think Tori's going to be great at giving advice. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So the first one's not actually advice. I picked this one because it's kind of silly, goofy, and we don't really get these questions that often. The first one's just, what's your favorite type of candy and do you prefer savory or sweet?
Ooh.
Good question.
Jacob?
Okay, well, I love candy. I'm a huge candy guy. I first of all, sweet over savory, no question.
Wow, I'm not savory a question. Over sweet.
Really? I'm savory over sweet as well.
Really? Give me chips and dip over a bag of candy any day.
No, give me gummy bears. Give me chocolate.
Oh, interesting.
Give me cookies.
What's your favorite type of
treat? Honestly, not kidding. Milk chocolate, and I'm talking like cheap milk chocolate. Like
Reese's Pieces or we
no, like off cheaper? Brand, like store brand.
No name. Okay. I would eat, like hit me with the no name.
I would eat bars. I went through a phase. This is embarrassing. I went through a phase where like every day at lunch I would eat. I would go to the dollar store. This is like and get like a knockoff Mars bar.
Aren't they always a little bit expired from the dollar store?
Yes.
You get a knockoff one specifically.
This is also a weird thing. I like stale like Fruit Loops.
This is a niche.
I'm going to retire from this podcast.
Yeah.
We're not egging you on. You're exposing all of this yourself.
What about you? Sweet, savory?
Listen, if I was at a dinner and I could choose to have another cosmopolitan or order dessert, I'm going to have a cocktail. I'm not like a
huge dessert person.
I do like a cake in a certain moment, but I am more savory than sweet. Mm-hmm. Like I would prefer to have like a burger and fries or like a pho versus like sit down and eat like gummy bears.
You're not messing up a tiramisu.
No.
I'm not a tiramisu guy either.
I don't love tiramisu. I don't even like really love creme brulee.
Oh, wow.
I know. Yeah. No, I'm definitely savory over sweet.
I'm not a cake person at all. Like
we know this about you because there were specific requests the birthday at
my
event. Birthday.
Yeah. So like that's where my friends brought me like Cops donuts. And I'm not even a donut person, but Cops are like little like
I can
know,
mess with those. Those are
because
good.
It's like a big texture thing. So I'm not a sweets person really. I'm savory, so I'll always be
I love a chip and a dip. That's good.
A chip and a dip is what my snack is. Do you want to go with the next
question? Yeah, voicemail question number two. How do you deal with personal and professional rejection, specifically in your early 20s?
I think...
get used to it. It's going to happen the rest of your life. I mean, I know that's kind of maybe not the answer people want to hear, but I actually think that rejection is just redirection. And if you see it that way, then you always know that there's another bus around the corner. 100%. Well, my dad used to say to me when I was a kid, opportunities are like buses. There's always one around the other block. And I'm like, that's just so true. Like, that's just an accurate way to live. So when, I guess as an actor too, I'm so... like I've been living with that rejection since I was 12 years old. Mm-hmm. If you're not having fun, get out of that situation for sure. But like rejection is also just a piece of life. It's a great way to keep your ego in check as well. I think I've been as humbled as I am in life because of 100%. The rejection and the ego checks.
Yeah. What about personal rejection though? Like if, like, I mean, the thing is, it's always going to happen as well. And also another thing that like brings your ego down. Like I always say, like, everyone's got to go through a couple good heartbreaks in their life, because if you don't know what that feels like, then you don't know
how to treat other people.
How to treat other people. You don't know what, I mean, when something's really good, how important it is to protect it, because you don't know what that feeling's like. So I think it's as like cheesy as it is, yeah, it's all part of life and it's always going to happen. Professional rejection for me, I have a mentality, if I get like rejected in like a professional setting, I just go, I didn't want it anyways.
Oh, really?
And like I've been really actually good about that. And I don't know, it's like tricking my brain to be like, oh, I was getting ready for the next thing anyway. So it's kind of your same mentality of like, the bus is always coming around the corner.
Don't worry.
I'm like, oh, I was too like, I don't know, I just like hype myself up. Obviously, like I still like take constructive feedback or like whatever if it has to do with that type of situation. But
yeah,
I just can trick myself into being like, onward and upward, like that that like lucky girl mindset, like that, that everyone talks about now. If you can just like trick yourself into that, I think that's
okay. I think personal rejection in general is a lot harder than professional rejection.
I know.
Absolutely.
Professional, you can usually be like,
well, you can keep it in your own little compartment in your brain and be like, didn't get that.
But personal, it's hard not to take
personally.
Well, Kate, that's what I was just gonna say, is like my advice there is to like, of course, probably as soon as it happens, you're going to take it personally. No one's perfect at like that aspect of the self-care of it. But that's, I think, the most important part, is that oftentimes, especially you're talking about heartbreak, it's like people grow apart, some things happen. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, someone doesn't want to be with you anymore, it's not like there's something specific that you've done or could have changed, right? Mm-hmm. Without changing yourself, which is not something that you should ever probably do, to try to fit into the box of someone else. Mm-hmm. And then on the professional rejection side, I always just write it down and I'll use it as fuel and be like, God, I will show you when I'll remember.
Sometimes it's fun to use it as fuel. Like if you do get rejected, like personally, it's always those people that come back around once you're successful. It's like, 100%. Oh, it's so nice to hear from you, asshole.
Yes. I love those moments.
Yeah.
Basically, just trick your brain into
Wait, do we swear on this show?
Yeah, we do.
For sure.
We're rated. Oops. What is it? It's not R. I don't
explicit.
We're explicit on our show. Okay, so kind of actually going with like the whole rejection mindset, friendships, personal relationships, it's a question I've gotten asked every single week on the show, but I think you're a good person to talk to about it. How do you deal with toxic friends and how to end friendships? I think it's a thing when we're talking about, like, especially for like young women in their early 20s, like I think they deal with it a lot and figuring out adult friendships. But what advice would you give for someone that's trying to deal with toxic friendship or ending friendships, and how to manage?
I think that it's okay to hold your friends to the same standards that you would hold yourself. What I mean by that is, if you know that you would show up for a friend in a certain moment and they don't show up for you, like, okay, maybe a little bit of a tick, like, and not consciously, but I think like over time, if you start to have a problematic friend where those ticks start to become like a lot of red check marks and you're like, okay, this is kind of become like we're at a point of contention, like you're not showing up for me in the way that I would show up for you, either it's a conversation like, hey, maybe you're going through something and I'm going to give you that grace because that's just who I am as a friend, and I have that deep loyalty to people that I want to see it through. But if then it's still not met and your expectations and you're always constantly being let down, I think it's totally fine to walk away. And I have walked away from friendships. And I've also had people walk away from friendships with me because, like, on the reverse, when you do hold your friends to that high of a standard, if someone doesn't want to be in that type of friend group or that type of energy, I can really respect that, but it has to go both ways. Like, it's like any relationship. I would treat it the same as an emotional relationship, like as a partnership relationship. Like, if they're not showing up for you, it's a line in the sand. I also like the theory of like putting friends in certain tiers. Like, I think that's fair enough.
I
like,
100% think I love that's fair.
Yeah.
But it's, but like, I, some people like, it's so funny. No, I completely agree.
You I have know. To. You have to. Like, you have your tier ones that are like, ride or die. They're going to put you in your grave one day. God bless them. For finally, sure. Horizontal. They're going to stand there and be with you. But then there's going to be the tier two friends that like, you're going to party with and live your best life with. You yeah. still love them. It's just different. And you don't have to hold them to those insane standards. So
yeah.
And just understanding those boundaries, I think, is yeah. important.
And I think you point out, like, talking about how it's like a relationship with a partner, I actually think it's weird that we don't, that more people don't view friendships that way, because yeah. like, it's very similar. You're being vulnerable to people, you're like building trust, you're doing all this, but there's no like friendship breakups, really. Like, it's not the same as like when you're like done with a partner, you guys can go, I don't want
to have the closure,
I don't want to do this anymore. And like, you can't just like break up with somebody as a friend. Like, maybe you can.
It's always the soft launch, yeah. or the soft closure. Yeah, the soft closure. The soft closure.
Or I've never had a friendship breakup that's that easy. I think it took me a long time to realize that like, some people are just there for a part of your life too, yeah. and like, it works in that sense. But as people grow, as we talked earlier, people grow apart, and that's totally okay as long as you can recognize that. And I think as long as you have a mutual respect,
I agree.
That's the most important thing. Like, there are people that, at one point, I thought was going to be like the maid of honor at my wedding. If you ask me, we were mm-hmm. so tight for so long, and we don't speak anymore. And that's okay, because we grew apart, and I'll check in and see like how they're doing, like through other people. And like, just, I want the best for them still. I just think sometimes people aren't like, they're meant for an era of your life. They're not meant for your entire life. And that's totally okay. Granted, it doesn't make it easy though.
You're allowed to outgrow friends. The same way that you're allowed to outgrow relationships. Have you ever ghosted a friend? Like, just not simply not responded again?
No, I don't have you.
I think I have. I've done it to one person, and we were really close friends. And basically what happened, what I was gonna add to what you two are saying there is like, you should also be able to challenge a friend. And they just as you should in a relationship. And if they're, you know, you can have differing opinions on politics or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're not able to have a constructive conversation with
don't
a friendship. Don't
you hate it when a friend, they act like they don't know where your heart is? Like, if you say yeah, something wrong, yeah. then they pretend they don't know how good your heart is.
And that's just like a
like,
defensive,
you know.
Yeah, it's yeah. a defensive mechanism yeah. for someone, because I'm not challenging, especially a tier one friend.
Totally.
You're never challenging a tier one friend to try to, you know, knock them down or
no.
make them feel
no,
bad or point
best.
Out a flaw. You're literally, you just have their best interests in mind,
exactly.
and you want to feel comfortable in that friendship. So to just come back with defensiveness doesn't make any sense. And then if the action that they're taking is something that is, you know, a repeated friendship offense, I don't have any problems just like cutting that off cold turkey. And I've done it.
I'm kind of more that way as well. I'm pretty cut and dry.
I give people too many chances, unfortunately.
Do you?
Yeah, I've always been that way. And I'm a slow burnout kind of person.
Don't you
I'm
think one
better.
Chance is enough? Like,
I've just never been.
If you do
granted,
one.
Granted, I'm in therapy now, and it's like, this Sarah, is what can I talk about? It. I'm in therapy, and we talk about this a lot, though, is like, it's about holding like people, your friends to that standard. That's a mm-hmm. huge thing I talk about, is like, when people don't do the type of things that I would do for them, like, that's now what I'm very aware of. And so like, now I'm very aware of that. And I think tiered friendships is a great way to view it. Someone maybe, and even if someone was a tier one friend, maybe they won't be forever. Maybe they end up moving to tier two or tier three, and that's totally okay. It's just a way of protecting your own peace. And the best quote is I've seen on the internet when people go, pay attention to how you feel when you're around certain people. And that's been yeah. a big thing too through therapy that I've learned, because that's really what's been able to help me, I think, see more clarity on that with adult friendships especially.
Yeah, like,
well,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when people show you who they are, believe them
no.
the
yeah.
first time. Like, I believe in second chances, and I believe that friends can make mistakes, and every, like, we're all human, we're all going to mm-hmm. like mess up here and there. But I do think there is something to be said about when someone has like repeat business of being a bad person. Like
yeah.
that's where I'm with Jacob, and I'm like, you can do me dirty once, and then I'm like, yeah, I
well, that's
go.
Like, yeah, I was gonna say, you're tier one, and then if you get knocked down, you're do something, you're immediately tier two, maybe three.
But I'm also a Leo. Like, if you do me dirty, then I'm kind of like, now I hate you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no in between. I either am with you until the grave, yeah. or I literally.
But you know what? I appreciate that, because like, one thing that I pride myself on is like being loyal and building up trusting relationships with people. And like, if you're not going to offer me the same, I know that I'm confident in being able to offer you that.
Exactly.
And if you're not going to meet me halfway, I think it's fine for someone to have their own standards of like, look, my bar is going to be set really high here. Maybe we just can't be friends if you're not going to meet it.
Come up to my level. Don't come up at all.
But yeah. So the I guess softer way to say that is also just like that people do have different personalities and opinions on things and whatnot. And
I have been told I'm harsh before. Fair.
And like you say, Sarah, like it's not necessarily a bad thing that some friendships are seasonal. Even if you are really close friends with someone for years and years and years, don't hold yourself back by being afraid of growing a part of those friendships if it's going to hold you back from, say, world domination or something,
right? But it's also changing with the tides. Like, people are so obsessed with the fact, I mean, like, we were never tier one friends to each other because that just wasn't the way that our friendships were interconnected. But isn't that also interesting that real people with real, like, humility and no egos about it, it's like, well, that's why we've been able to actually stay friends.
For so long.
We just actually have mutual respect.
Yes,
And can grow together and just be like, hey, call me if you ever want to get a drink. Yeah. And it's just that way. It's like, I will always respect you. I'll always cheerlead for you from the sideline. Doesn't mean I have to call you every single day and be that way.
Yeah.
But it's like, people need to be more like that.
Yeah,
like, just have a standard level of just being
and not
a
everyone
chill
has to be your best, like
person.
Your best friend.
Well, like,
it's like friendship, just like exactly, and that's what's like longevity with
that's
it too.
That's something that I was gonna say too. Is that I also have a lot of friends that like I would still consider friends.
Yeah,
we're at one point very close friends, but we've kind of drifted apart. Maybe we don't check in very often.
Totally.
But like, if they were sitting in front of me right now, I would still just like shoot the shit with them as if we were.
That's literally
the closest.
Every time we see each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's something so special about that. Those people that
for
like,
sure,
then,
yeah.
then when you get to see them, it's like nice because you get to like have all these things to share.
Totally.
Which is amazing. Which is what we're going to do after this because we've gone way too long.
Yeah. She's saying wrap it
we're
up.
We're getting the wrap up.
Thank you, peasant. Did you write on the card?
Okay.
What?
And we have a card. Thank you for coming on the show.
No way.
You might have already read this book, but I bought you a book because I know you like reading.
Wait, I actually was pulling inspiration from my trip books from the books that you had reviewed.
Oh.
I read, I think it was one that you had read. It was something about the summer it happened.
Yeah, Every Summer After.
Every Summer After.
Yeah, did you love
it?
Carly
Fortune. I
know, Canadian author.
I really loved it.
So the TV series is coming out. Did you already read it?
I have not read that.
Okay, so the TV series is coming out.
She has your last name.
I know.
Not your sister.
Not related. I wish.
Wait, beautiful.
The series is coming out.
Guys, Daisy Jones and the Six.
So it's all of our gifts are about self-care. So everything that bag is for like a little self-care
Wait,
moment
thanks,
for you
guys, that's so nice.
There's like a bath bomb and some chocolate that Jacob might steal from
what?
You
so and when you axe your next friendship, you know, you can just have
a self-care moment for myself.
Thank you so much for coming
thank
on the
you
show.
For having me guys, honestly congratulations so on all the success of the podcast, wishing you guys the world. This
thank
is
you.
It's so cool. I love a podcast.
I love
listening to podcasts, so it's fun to be on one.
Now is your chance if you want to shamelessly self-promote or promote anything. Your camera's over there if you want to. If you have a PSA to the people, whatever you want.
Hey, guys. Thanks for watching. Talking Fast. My name is Tori Webster. You can find me on all the social platforms under my name. See you there.
I love that. Thank you guys for listening or watching. You can check out a new episode of Talking Fast every single Wednesday. And we will see you next time.
Bye.
3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.